they're in the middle of the third missionary journey here in Acts chapter 21. Matter of fact, it's going to be ending in the message time tonight, in the passage of scripture tonight. This third missionary journey is going to come to an end. Now in Acts 21, we had a chance a couple Sunday nights to begin Acts chapter 21. And we said from verse 1 through verse number 3, it gave us the details of their journey when they left Miletus. They leave Miletus, and the Bible tells us they visit several locations on their way to Tyre. And they're going to spend 7 days in Tyre. And so that was what we saw from verse 4 down to verse number 16. Because from verse 4 to verse number 7, we talked about their fellowship that they had while they were in Tyre. And certainly the importance of fellowship. And then we talked from verse 8 down to verse number 13 about Paul's fervency. They were trying to warn him and encourage him against going to the city of Jerusalem because they said there's danger that awaits you. But Paul was so fervent, there was nothing that was going to stop him from going to Jerusalem. And so we saw the fervency of Paul. And we tried to encourage you that night to have fervency in your life as a Christian. Let's just be fervent. And let's not allow things to stop us or to detour us or to get us off track when serving the Lord. And then from verse 14 down to verse number 16, we saw Paul's follow through. See, it's one thing, I mentioned this a couple Sunday nights ago, it's one thing to say you're going to do something. And it's totally different to actually go through with it, to follow through. And Paul didn't just say he was going to head to Jerusalem. He made the steps and he completed the task and he finished by follow through and he went to the city of Jerusalem. And so we need to be that way in our Christian lives. There needs to be fervency and we need to follow through with what God is perhaps doing in our hearts, what God would have us to do as his children. We need to follow through with those things. And let's not just say we're going to do something. Let's not make promises or vows to God and not keep them. But let's have follow through in our lives. And then we get to verse number 17. I want you to look at just the first part of verse number 17. And then I want to give you a couple truths from the verses that we'll look at tonight. And we're really going to just look at a few verses tonight, not a whole lot. And then we'll move into a separate passage of scripture the next time we meet together as the Lord guides. But verse 17, the very first part of the verse says this, just the first part. It says, and when we were come to Jerusalem. Now that's true follow through, right? Paul got there. Again, he didn't know everything that was going to happen when he got there, but the Bible tells he got to the city of Jerusalem. His fervency to get there and his follow through to get there. So he gets there at the end of, or excuse me, at the first part of verse number 17. And this trip to Jerusalem ends, it brings to an end his third missionary journey. So really, we've journeyed with Paul through missionary journey number one, where it was Paul and Barnabas. Missionary journey number two, where it was Paul and Silas. Now we've traveled through with Paul, missionary journey number three. And by the way, as he's coming into the city of Jerusalem, remember they're using the word, the Bible used the word we, which means Luke is with him, along with him on this journey as well, to get into the city of Jerusalem. So we've come to the end of Paul's third missionary journey. So we've noticed his first and his second and his third missionary journey. And this was the first time that Paul had been to the city of Jerusalem since the end of the first missionary journey. So it has been quite a time since he's been to the city of Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, I'll say it this way. So much time had passed that perhaps the people in the city of Jerusalem thought that they probably would not even see Paul again. Especially because of the dangers of some of the ministries that he was involved in. And all the times that Paul went through persecution. They were perhaps even convinced, we're never going to see him again. We saw him at the end of the first missionary journey, and that's perhaps the last time we're going to get to see Paul. And by the way, that would be how they would have lived their lives during this day, the days of the early church, because of all the persecution that took place, not knowing if they would see each other again. Sometimes we have a saying, and perhaps even some of you have used it before. We say from time to time, we'll say something like, well, I'll see you there, but if I don't see you there, I'll see you over there. And we're talking about in heaven, getting to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. So if I don't see you here, or maybe in another location down here on earth, I'll get to see you up there. See, those that were involved in ministry in the early church, That was a realistic part of life. I mean, we don't know because of all that we're going through if we are going to get to see each other again. But we know we have the promise and the assurance of heaven, though, don't we? So we will get to be reunited one day. But Paul is getting to see these people for the first time since the end of his first missionary journey. Now, let me give you a time frame of what that would be. That would have probably been 15 years that would have passed. So 15 years from the end of his first missionary journey to now the end of his third missionary journey. And again, they're getting to see Paul again during this time. So Paul knew where he was going when he got to the city of Jerusalem. We've been saying this as we've been talking about Paul and his journey towards the city of Jerusalem. He knew where he was going and he knew where he was at when he got there, but he didn't know what was awaiting him, did he? Remember, they kept talking about it. There's danger that could happen if you go to the city of Jerusalem. So Paul knew where he was, but he didn't know exactly what was going to happen. And we're going to get to see that as we study through these chapters that kind of close out the book of Acts. But I want to share with you a couple of truths that we see here in verse 17. And really, we'll kind of just look down through verse number 20. So not a whole lot of verses tonight, but I hope it'll be an encouragement to you and maybe something that God would use to encourage you and to speak to your heart tonight. First of all, I want us to notice the reception of the believers. Notice the reception of the believers. When Paul gets there, notice how the Bible describes how they receive him. Would you look at that with me? And by the way, I really, really, really want you to concentrate on the way that these believers receive Paul, because at the very end of the message, at the very end of the message, we're going to go to a passage of scripture that's in the New Testament of our Bible that is going to compare or allow us to use the way that they received Paul as an illustration or a picture of a way in which we're going to be received one day. So maybe just if you would, just in your mind, just kind of concentrate upon that tonight. The way the believers received Paul, so the reception of the believers. Look with me, if you would, at the end of verse number 17. The Bible says this, the brethren, remember these are the brethren that hadn't seen him for 15 years. They hadn't seen him since his last, at the end of that first missionary journey. It says, received us gladly. Number one, I want you to notice the reception of the believers. That word received there at the end of verse number 17 speaks of taking somebody with the hand and receiving them into yourself. Think about that. I mean, this was a warm reception. This wasn't just saying they were received and welcome to come, but it was a warm reception. Taking somebody by the hand and kind of just pulling them in towards you. Two, the word received there has the idea of granting somebody access to yourself. They were granting Paul and those that were traveling with him access to themselves. We want you to be warmly received as you've come to the city of Jerusalem. Now, can I say, by way of application tonight, or by way of a truth that we can put into our lives, this is the proper spirit that that Christians should have one for another, shouldn't it? We should have a spirit like this, where we receive others. And by the way, we receive others no matter what condition they are in at that present moment when we're receiving them. We want to be welcoming to a person that comes into this building that's lost so they can come to know Christ. We want to be welcoming to somebody who may have a testimony of salvation but may not necessarily be living the Christian life as God would desire for them to live, so that we can see them growing in the Lord. Just to have a spirit of receiving people just the way Christians should, one towards another, especially as we think of the spirit that Christians had as they received one of God's servants. I mean, this was Paul, God's servant, who had faithfully journeyed on these missionary journeys and shared the word of God and the gospel with others. But you know what? It would have been very easy, because we got to pause to think about this for a moment. It would have been very easy for those that were in the city of Jerusalem to resent this man still because of the problems that he had caused through persecution. Would you think back before Paul got saved? His name was Saul, wasn't it? And Saul, the Bible says, was wrecking havoc on Christians. Matter of fact, he was the one who had many Christians put to death. He was the one that was standing there holding the coats of the men who were stoning Stephen to death. He was the one in Acts chapter 9 who was journeying to the city of Damascus with letters in his hand to try to cause those that were in the city of Damascus to come back to the city of Jerusalem and to be put in prison, to be persecuted, some to even lose their own lives. So could you imagine the spirit really that they could have had towards Paul? It really could have been a spirit of resentment because of the things that he had done to really harm and hurt and damage Christianity through his persecution. But the Bible tells us they didn't respond that way at all, did they? They received Paul. But did you notice there was another word at the end of verse number 17? I hope you noticed that. Because the Bible says at the end of verse number 17, they didn't just receive him, but the Bible says they received him gladly. They received him gladly. Well, we could say it this way. They received him with gladness. They were glad to be able to see Paul. Again, it could have been that they held resentment, bitterness, hatred in their heart toward him because of all those moments of persecution that he had been a part of. But no, instead, the Bible says they receive him. They draw him into themselves. Again, a picture that the Bible's trying to give us there. And they gladly, with gladness, they receive Paul as he's come to the city of Jerusalem. Now, I want you to take your Bible, hold your place there in Acts chapter number 21 for a moment, and I want to look at two Bible verses. And these two Bible verses are going to talk to us about how we, as children of God, should receive one another. Let's look at what the Bible says in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, and we're going to look down at verse number 7. So Romans chapter 15 and verse number 7. The Bible says this. What an encouragement the Bible gives to us here. It says, "Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Now there is no doubt in our minds that we are grateful for the fact that Christ received us. Matter of fact, I love that song we sing in the hymnal, "Christ receiveth a sinful man." He is willing to take you where you're at, isn't he? He's willing to receive you where you're at. You think back to the day you got saved. He received you as a wretched sinner, didn't he? We talked about that this morning. We talked about the prophet Isaiah, where he saw God high and lifted up. And then he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips," he says. "And I'm in need of God's forgiveness." Aren't you glad that Christ received you? And the same way he received you was the way the Bible says that we are to receive one another to the glory of God, it says, so that God can get the glory. Now, one of the things that should be said of our church at all times, and really it should be said of any church that's trying to preach the gospel and names the name of Christ, it should be said that when we have somebody come that wants to visit our services or perhaps would like to be here for a time of fellowship that we have, that we would always be people that would receive and welcome others when they come in. Now, I often think of it this way. If somebody is going to work hard to invite somebody to come, and by the way, if you've ever worked to invite somebody to come, you know how challenging just that part can be. Just to get somebody to come with you and to make that step. I had somebody just tell me yesterday, somebody that we work on occasion to invite to come to our church that we've met as a result of our visitation on Saturday. And we tried to use yesterday as an opportunity to invite this person again. And they said, I just have to be honest with you. And they were being honest. I said, I just have to be honest with you. They said, I'm not really a man of my word. And I said, I might tell you I'm going to be there, but that doesn't mean I'm going to be there. And you know what I mean. You've got people maybe perhaps that you've invited and they might tell you they're going to be here, but it's challenging to see them here. But when they get here, because of all that work that we've put into getting them here, it should be that they're received well in the house of God. It should be that visitors get a warm and a friendly welcome. Received no matter where they are in life, no matter if they're saved or lost, no matter what their condition is, that we would receive them and we would welcome them. And I'm so thankful about that. We had I had an opportunity while I was in South Africa not only to visit the Womacks, but I had the wonderful privilege of being able to just during the time of my layover before I got on the flight, I had a chance to visit the missionaries that were here for our missions conference a couple years ago, the LaRues. Some of you may remember Philip and Amy LaRue and their son Zane when they were here with us in our missions conference a couple years ago. And both of the missionaries, and I hope that they were not saying this just because I was there with them, But both of them, without me saying anything to them, they both told me how welcomed they felt when they came to our missions conference. And I was so happy to hear that. They said, we felt that when we walked into your building, we were welcomed. And we felt that your people cared about the fact that we were there. See, that's the way it should be in the house of the Lord. Not, can I say this? Not every church is like that. And I know that's true because I visited some that are not like that. And maybe perhaps you've been on vacation or you've been on a trip or you've been away and you visited a church during your time being away from this church and you found that not every church is the same. Not every church is as welcoming and not every church is as friendly as what we desire to be here. But if we're going to work hard to invite people to come and we're going to get visitors, which by the way, we're praying for visitors, aren't we? And if we're going to get them here, we want to be welcoming, don't we? We want to be friendly. We want to be able to receive people well. And I'm thankful for that testimony that we have in this area as a lighthouse in this area that we're welcoming to visitors. That's what we're being taught here. To receive others the way that Christ has received us. They received Paul when he came to the city of Jerusalem, and he gives us a challenge, doesn't it? Look with me, if you would, at 3 John. 3 John, in the back of your Bible there, 3 John, and look with me, if you would, at verse 7 and verse number 8. So 3 John, verse 7, and then 3 John, verse 8. The Bible says this, because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Again, it's the idea of helping and being willing to receive the ministers of God, those who are in the service of the Lord, those who are working for the Lord, and then those that we want to see reached for the Lord as well. The evangelist that's coming in a couple days. We want to receive him well, don't we? Because here's the truth about evangelists. Evangelists are traveling week after week after week. They come to a church and many times, and I'm speaking on their behalf because I know it's true because I've heard testimony of it, they may be physically a little weary. I mean, traveling, can you just picture what they do? They go from location to location. They're in church every single night. Not that that's a bad thing because we enjoy being in church. But for an evangelist, that's a very difficult schedule. And so when a missionary comes in, when an evangelist comes in, we want to receive them well, don't we? We want to thank them for the fact that they're laboring for the Lord. We want to be a blessing. I'm thinking about over the years here that we've been at our church where we've had missionaries and evangelists that have come in. And I'm thinking of countless times we've had evangelists that have had maybe perhaps as they pulled into our church parking lot, they've had some challenges with their trailer. And we've had some men in our church that have gone out to the trailer and said, hey, let me help you with that. Maybe just ladies, if you would just consider when a servant of the Lord as the wife of a missionary or the wife of an evangelist comes in here, they may have challenges and burdens they're facing. They may be a little weary, and they may just need somebody to come along beside them and just encourage them a little bit. May we be mindful of just encouraging the laborers as they're laboring in the work of the Lord. Now see, our mindset should never be, well, when the evangelist comes in, we're expecting him to be a blessing to us. We are, but not totally that he would be a blessing to us and we would not in turn be a blessing to him. We would be an encouragement to him, don't we? So let's receive and welcome those that are working in the ministry of the Lord with open arms, pull them into ourselves like the illustration is teaching us here and just say, hey, we grant you access to what we're doing here in the ministry along with you. And we want to be an encouragement with you or to you. And we want to be a blessing to you while you're here. And then in turn, we know God's going to make you a blessing to us as well. Let's be receptive as people come into our church and as we're involved in ministry here in the place that God has put us. Then the second challenge I want to give you tonight is this. Not only the reception of the believers, but number two, the report of the apostle. See, Paul is now going to give a report. Now, anytime you're given a report about the things of God, You're going to be spending some time praising God, aren't you? Because everything God does is good, isn't it? And so he's going to spend some time just praising and glorifying God. Let's notice how he does that as he gives a report here. It's going to start in verse number 18. By the way, we're going to see something challenging here in verse 18. Look at verse 18. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James. So the Bible tells us this man named James received, welcomed Paul. Matter of fact, it goes on in the statement to say this, and all the elders were present. So the pastors there in Jerusalem were present as well, but the Bible tells us James was present. Now, there are some things that are true about James that we have to remember. First of all, he was the pastor at the church in Jerusalem. So this James that we're referring to here in verse 18, he's the pastor of the church there, the early church in the city of Jerusalem. But not only is he the pastor of the church, the Bible later on in the Bible, as we read through in the New Testament, we get to the book of James. Guess who wrote that book? This James here that we're talking about. This is the James that wrote the book of James. He's the pastor in the church of Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us that he held a very special place of honor and a place of respect in that church. And the Bible tells us he accepts Paul. He brings Paul to himself and he accepts him. Now, what does this show to us? I think it really gives us an application or a truth that we could consider here tonight before we even get to what Paul says about his missionary journeys is the favor of God on Paul's life. God has blessed Paul with special favor. One of the things I was really encouraged by when I went to South Africa, and really it spoke to my heart, because I thought to myself, I don't know that I see this enough in America. As far as my own personal life now, I'm not speaking of you, I'm just speaking of myself. I don't know that I recognize this as much as I should as a child of God in the country that I live in. The Womacks, over and over and over again, they made a statement while I was there about how that they had been to certain locations there in South Africa, and they kept making this statement over and over. They said, when we went to this particular place, God showed us favor with the person that is either in charge or the person that's organizing this particular ministry so that God's favor could be upon us so that we could be used of God to minister in that location. And I thought how sad it is that maybe myself, sometimes in America, I'm not recognizing maybe God's favor as much as I should. They were recognizing over and over and over and over again the fact that God's favor was on their lives. May we recognize the fact that God's favor is on our lives. Paul has God's favor on his life. Here he comes to the city of Jerusalem. And again, remember, the response that they could have had was one of bitterness, one of hatred towards Paul because of all that persecution that he stirred up. But instead, here's this man, James, as the pastor of the church of Jerusalem, holding a place of high honor and respect in the church. And the Bible tells us that he accepts and approves Paul before the other believers. And I believe it was God's way of settling any unrest that they would have felt about Paul. Settling anything in their heart that might have been stirred up to remind themselves of the fact that this is the man, this is the same man that caused great persecution. And he settled all of their unrest by, the Bible tells us, welcoming him in, accepting him, approving of Paul in the sight of these people. And then notice how Paul gives God the glory for his missionary journeys. He rehearses these missionary journeys, really, and we summarize it just in one verse. Look at verse 19. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly. We're going to come back to those two words. So remember those two words. He had declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. What is Paul doing here? It's simply put this way. He's giving God the glory for all the people, all the Gentiles that he's been able to reach, all the ways that God has used his ministry. And I love those two words there in the middle of that verse. The Bible says he declared particularly. What that means is this. He went into great detail. He gave great detail of the account of his second missionary journey and his third missionary journey. Remember, he was back at the end of his first missionary journey, and so they had already heard that detailed account. But now he's going to give detailed account of what God had used him to do during his second and his third missionary journey. Emphasizing this thought, here's the thought that he emphasizes, that God gets the glory. God is the one who has enabled us to see these great blessings. He's the one that's used me. He's the one that's allowed me to have these ministries. He's emphasizing that God gets the glory for all of this. And the application tonight is this. May any work that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ, may any labor that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ always reflect praise to Him. May we always give Him the glory and give Him the honor for the way that He uses us. I'm going to give you the last thought, and it really goes hand in hand with what we're talking about here in point number two. Number one, we told you that we talked about the reception of the believers. Number two, we talked about the report of the apostle, but I want us to notice the first part of verse number 20, and we'll finish tonight. I want us to notice the rejoicing of the church. The rejoicing of the church. Now, what did we say this morning? Isn't it amazing how the messages always seem to go hand in hand? What did we talk about this morning? We talked about the fact that revival brings rejoicing. What goes hand in hand? We talked about how that prayer and revival go hand in hand. God wants you to pray so revival can come. But then we talked about how revival and rejoicing go hand in hand. See, if we're going to pray, God will give us revival. And then if He gives us revival, there'll be great rejoicing, won't they? Remember the verse we read this morning? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? God wants His people rejoicing. Well, in this verse, the first part of verse number 20, God's people are rejoicing because of the ministry that Paul was involved in. Notice what it says, verse number 20. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. See, God gets all the glory, doesn't He? God gets all of the praise. And the Bible says, when they hear the report that Paul gives, they give all honor and all glory to the Lord. Now, what were they giving God honor and glory for? Would you consider two things that Paul was able to do in his ministry that they would be giving God honor and glory for? Number one, they were giving God honor and glory because Paul was giving testimony of people that had gotten saved. On his missionary journeys, people had gotten saved, hadn't they? And what does the Bible tell us happens in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth? The Bible says there's joy, isn't there? There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, one sinner that gives their life to Christ. But Paul, as he is, I love how he uses the words, declared particularly, as he is giving great detail. Can you imagine the times in which he shared with them, hey, this person got saved. This person trusted the Lord as their Savior. And then over here in this city, we got to see a score of people trust the Lord as their Savior. And what are they glorifying God about? Because people got saved. Just like there's joy in the presence of the angels of God when sinners come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Can I say the passion and the heartbeat of this local church here in the city of Boonesboro should be souls. It should be the fact that we're getting to see souls saved. I'm so thankful that when I was in South Africa, I was able to see those two folks trust Jesus as their Savior. All as a result of our ministry here in our church. Getting to see souls trust Christ. That ought to be our passion. That ought to be our heartbeat. The salvation of souls should bring joy to our heart. By the way, did you notice this? The salvation of souls brought joy to their heart. It didn't bring jealousy to their heart. See, they weren't jealous of the fact that Paul had left the area and God was using him in a great way outside of the city of Jerusalem. They weren't jealous about that. Well, let's think about how God's using us here, and let's get jealous because God's doing more for Paul in other locations. That wasn't the way they responded at all, was it? With no heart of jealousy at all, but yet a heart of joy that people have trusted Christ as their Savior and people are on their way to heaven. But not only are they rejoicing because souls had been saved, but they're rejoicing because churches had been established. Churches had been established. Now, what would be such a blessing to the people in Jerusalem about churches being established? Well, as churches were being started, Christianity was being spread, wasn't it? So as a result of Christianity being spread, new believers are being taught. New believers are being discipled. And that brought joy and glorifying to God, just simply the fact that souls were being saved and churches were being established. They were finding out that now they had fellow Christians in many other cities. It wasn't just the city of Jerusalem. Remember for a time, right after the Lord ascended, they wanted to stay right there in Jerusalem, didn't they? They didn't want to go outside of their comfort zone. And remember, God had to send persecution, didn't he? And as a result of persecution, the Bible says that they spread out everywhere preaching the word of God. But for a time there, they were just in the city of Jerusalem. How comforting to know that outside of the city of Jerusalem, we've got fellow Christians who are serving the Lord in various places, maybe perhaps people that they would never meet, churches that they would never be able to get to be at a service of, but yet just simply the fact of knowing there are fellow Christians in other cities, and this was a reason for rejoicing. This was a reason for thanking God. Man, I'm thankful to the Lord for the church there in Port Elizabeth, South Africa. I don't get to go there every Sunday, but I'm thankful that there are fellow Christians there. And there are fellow Christians that are serving the Lord the same way we are and wanting to see people saved the same way we're wanting to see people saved here at our church. I'm thankful for churches that are established around our area here that are trying to preach the word of God. It's not about trying to be involved with competition or getting jealous about things, but it's saying for the glory of the Lord, we've got joy in our hearts because we're seeing God do some good things. And that ought to bring us rejoicing. That ought to bring us thanks to God, shouldn't it? Now, would you look at the book of Revelation for a moment? And I told you I'd finish with this. We'll be done. Revelation chapter 21. And I want your mind to go back to what we said about Paul. Paul was welcomed and he was received at the city of Jerusalem. May that allow your heart tonight as we close to just get a picture or a glimpse of the day in which we're going to be received for all of eternity to be with the Lord. Matter of fact, the Bible says it this way in John chapter number 14, and then we're going to get to Revelation chapter 21. He says, let not your heart be troubled. He says, ye believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and what? Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. See, the people of Jerusalem gladly received Paul and his ministry team. Christ gladly received sinners. And one day, because we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're going to be received into heaven, aren't we? And the Bible says this in Revelation chapter number 21. We'll read just the first few verses and talk about the welcome that we're going to have one day when we get to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Which, by the way, let me say this quickly, became a reality this week for Miss Julie, didn't it? It became a reality for her. The fact that she had put her faith in the Lord, and down here she was walking by faith, but now her faith has become sight, hasn't it? That's a joy to think about, isn't it? The Bible says in Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any pain, for the former things are passed away. And when are the former things passed away? When we're received in heaven to be with the Lord for all of eternity. Is your salvation settled? If it's settled, then you know, according to the word of God, you're going to be received one day into heaven, aren't you? If it's not settled, get it settled tonight. But then may we just rejoice in what we've learned here from Revelation 21. Let's be a church that receives and welcomes people the right way, just like we talked about here. May we be a church that rejoices and gives glory to God for all of the labor that he allows us to be a part in. May we rejoice when souls are being saved. And when Christians are growing in the Lord, churches are being established. I'm thankful when when a man of God allows God to speak to his heart and says, I want to start a good church in an area maybe perhaps that doesn't have a church, we ought to be excited about things like that. And we're excited about things like that because God's getting the glory, isn't he? He's getting all of the praise. And may we rejoice in that. Father, thank you tonight for the challenge from Acts chapter 21.